My name's Tom, one of the pastors here, and a very warm welcome from myself this Sunday morning. We were due to have an invitational service this Sunday, but we decided not to do that this time. I think as a church, we can sometimes struggle to invite friends along on a Sunday to a service. I'm not very good at it. I think many of us aren't very good at it. And I'm not saying that there aren't people present here today who aren't Christians. Of course there are. Every Sunday we have guests here. Every Sunday there are people here who don't know Jesus. And we want to keep telling people about Jesus, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, sometimes in simple, very clear ways in an invitational service. Other times just in the normal weekly preaching through the Bible, where the gospel will be explained because the gospel is in every Bible passage. But today I thought what we could do is think about something slightly different. I wonder what your aim is with your friends and your family. Aims, Tom? I don't have aims with my friends. They're friends. I enjoy hanging out with them. What are you talking about? Aims. But we do have an aim, don't we? We want our friends to know Jesus like we do. If they don't already. That's our aim. That they're our friends. We love them for who they are. They're not projects. But we want them to know Jesus like we know Jesus, don't we? And how can they come to know Jesus like we do? Will it just happen? Or do we try and do some things to help that happen? In our conversations, in the times that we spend together, maybe there are some things that we'd like to happen to help that to happen. Here are a few examples. You might want to live a distinct life, so that our friends and our family see us and notice that there's something different and ask questions. You might want to have a conversation with your friend about Christianity, church, God, or more specifically about Jesus, or more specifically about the good news about Jesus, what he came to do, to die for us on a cross, that we might know God. You might want to introduce them to other Christians, to meet Christians who aren't too odd. So they might see that Christians trust in Jesus, and yet they're not complete freaks. Or you might want to bring them along to an evangelistic event to hear the gospel explained, particularly to unbelievers. Or to a church service. Or invite them along to a group for seekers, people wanting to find out more about Jesus. Those are some things that we might be thinking about in our friendships, aren't they? But I think I've missed one thing out. One thing that I can think of, maybe you can think of many others, but one thing that I can think of. In our home groups, we're going through a course called Empowered. A course that's trying to help us to feel more confident about telling our friends about Jesus. Presented by a woman called Becky Manley Pippett, who's a gifted evangelist. And one of the things that particularly struck me in the first couple of sessions was this. One of Becky's main aims with her friends is to invite them to read a gospel with her. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I think she learned this off a woman she was living with in Spain early on in her life, a woman who mentored her, who encouraged her in her witness to her friends. This woman had noticed that Becky had real friendships with unbelievers, that she was good at sharing her life with them, being open with them, sharing joys and struggles, having conversations about Jesus, but didn't quite know how to take those conversations about Jesus to something else. And so she suggested to Becky, to say something like this to her friends. We've had some really good chats about Jesus, but I'm guessing that you've never actually had an opportunity to read the original sources for yourself. Why don't we sit down together and read the original sources together so you can find out about Jesus? Or something like that. And today, I want us to think why and how we can try and do that with our friends and our family. Why? Why would we want to do this? Maybe we've never even thought about this before. We've thought about the other things on the list, maybe. But me sitting down with a friend and opening up God's Word, the Bible, with them? Me? That's something that the pastor does, that an evangelist does, but I'm just an ordinary Christian, so I'm not going to do that, okay? I think there are two reasons why we want to open the Bible with a friend. And an extra reason, a third reason, why it's good for it to be us, ordinary Christians, doing that with our friends. We want them to read a gospel because, first, God's word is where the power is. God's word is where the power is. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation with someone who's not a Christian and you think to yourself, I'm never going to convince my friend that this is true? I have all the time. Might be having a conversation and I find myself doubting. I think to myself, this sounds completely unrealistic, that God created all this and sent his son to die for us 2,000 years ago. This sounds ludicrous. How are they going to believe this? That's what I often find myself thinking. I don't know about you, but I do that. And if I find myself doubting that, how on earth is my friend going to be convinced of that truth? The prophet Ezekiel, who prophesied during the time of the exile, a few hundred years before Jesus came along, was given a vision by God. We read it earlier. Let's read it again. The hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone upon bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Ezekiel is given a vision of Israel, effectively given spiritual glasses so he can see the spiritual reality of the people of Israel. Dry bones, an army of dry bones, and only God can make them alive. How? As his servant speaks God's word. As God's word is spoken, God's spirit moves through these bones and raises them to life, gives them new life. God's word is where the power is. You and I are not able to convince our friends about the truth of Jesus. Not that it's wrong to try and convince them. We should be trying to convince them. It's a good thing. But we have no power to convince them. God's word is where the power is. And if we can get them to read God's word, open it up, then God will do his work through his word by his spirit. But I can't teach people the Bible. I'm not a Bible teacher. Rico Tice, an evangelist, said, "We can't all be Bible teachers. We can all be Bible sharers." The key to sharing the Bible is having confidence that this is where the power is. Do you have confidence that this is where the power is? Not in our words and our explanations and our knowledge and our personalities, but in God's word as it's opened up with our friends. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." 2 Timothy 3:15, "The holy scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's word is where the power is. And second, God's word is where the real Jesus is. We want our friends to read the Bible with us because that's where the power is. We want them to read the Bible with us because that's where the real Jesus is. Some of the older members here will be able to tell us how the UK was 50 years ago. I'm guessing 50 years ago in the UK, the average person knew a reasonable amount about Jesus. Today, that is not the case. That is far from true today. We are a different country. And your neighbor is very unlikely to know much about Jesus. And what they do know, how likely is it that it's true? Let's think about what main views of Jesus our friends, our neighbors might have. They might think he's a vague, unknown figure who's important to the Christian religion. They might think he's just a swear word. They might think he's the son of a union between God and Mary, who didn't actually die on the cross. That's what most of our Muslim friends believe. Or that he's a Father Christmas-like figure. Not real, just part of a fairy tale. Or an inspiring, visionary teacher who lived 2,000 years ago and had some good things to say, and we should be more like him. These are probably the main views, the ones that I can think of at least, of what people in the UK who might know a little about Jesus might think about him. Our friends don't know the real Jesus. And we want them to meet him. Yes, they'll meet him as they watch our lives, as they see something of Jesus in us. Yes, they'll meet them as we speak something of Jesus. But the best way is for them to read about him for themselves. God's word is where the real Jesus is. And the Gospels are a great place to start for someone who's not a Christian. The whole Bible points to Jesus, but the Gospels are a great entry point for those who aren't Christians. Let's have a look at the beginning of John's Gospel. Let me read from John 1:29. Verse 29. "The next day John," that's John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, the man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Let's skip to verse 34. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. He saw Jesus passing by. He said, look, the Lamb of God. This is a brilliant little bit in the gospel. John the Baptist points his disciples to Jesus. He says, it's not about me. It's about him. Look at him. Verse 37, the two disciples heard him say this and they follow Jesus. What John the Baptist wants them to do. It's not about him. It's about Jesus. Verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon's brother, was one of those two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. The first thing he does. John says, look, he follows, spends the day with him, and then says, I've got to tell my brother. Tells his brother, come and see who I found. And he brings him to him. Next day, verse 43, Jesus decides to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see. Andrew spends the day with Jesus, says, I've got to tell my brother I found Jesus. Brings his brother. Philip meets Jesus. I've got to tell my friend. Brings him to him. Come and see. All these disciples do is meet Jesus, tell their friends and family about him and bring them to him. That is our job. We've met Jesus. Like Andrew, like Philip, we believe that he is the savior of the world. We want our friends, our family to meet Jesus and know him like we do. That's our job. We don't need to go and spend 4 years studying the Bible, getting a master's in theology so that we can answer every question that our friends might have about Jesus. We don't need to. We need to introduce them to our friend Jesus. Most of our friends don't have a clue who he is or why on earth we think he's so important. We need to introduce them to the real Jesus by opening the Bible with them. God's word is where the real Jesus is. But why me? Why can't I just bring my friend to the pastor or some other person who I know is a good evangelist or who knows the Bible much better than me? Because they're our friends. You could invite your friend to come to church. That would be great. Hear about Jesus each week, taught from the front through the Bible. You could invite them to invitational services aimed specifically at those who don't know Jesus. That would be great. But a church service is quite alien to people these days, isn't it? Whereas we know our friends, they know us, they've been in our house, we've been in their house. We're not alien to them. And opening up the Bible with them, while it may sound and seem completely foreign to us now, probably easier than bringing them into a strange place with lots of other strange people. Not that that's a bad thing. It's great to bring our friends to church, bring them to a seeker's course, and we want to do that. But they're our friends. And if we want them to meet Jesus, let's open up God's word with them. So that I want to encourage us to have this as an aim in our friendship. Not because our friends are projects, but because they are our friends. And we want them to meet Jesus and know him like we know him. Because God's word is where the power is, and God's word is where the real Jesus is. And they're our friends. So let's think how we might do this. I'm going to make a few assumptions. I'm going to assume that we have friends who aren't Christians, that we've got genuine friendships, that we're not treating them as projects, that they're real friends, that we do occasionally speak to them about Jesus. I know these are big assumptions. I know that. And maybe we're starting way, way back before then. And it would be a great thing to talk about friendship, wouldn't it? But today we're not going to do that. Today we're going to zoom forward. And maybe some other day we can do that. Now we're going to think about how we might read the Bible with a friend. First, we need to invite our friend to read the gospel with us. Now, Becky often uses that line that I mentioned earlier. I get the impression you've never read the original sources for yourself. I get the impression you've never read a biography of Jesus for yourself. How can you reject Jesus without actually having properly studied him? Something like that. In our own words, they're our friends. We know them best. We know how best to ask them. But what if you're thinking, how on earth could I do that? I've never led a Bible study before. I don't know the Bible that well. What if they ask me all sorts of difficult questions? The Bible can take care of itself. Our job is to open it up, ask a few questions, and point our friends to Jesus. Behold the Lamb. If that sounds daunting, then I'm very happy to sit down with anyone beforehand and we can go through a passage. We can think about what questions you could ask. I'm happy to do that. There are these resources that you could get hold of. The Word One-to-One. This is designed for this purpose, to read the Bible, to read a gospel with our friends. So this is John's gospel, or at least a part of it. This has got questions in it, and it's got answers. Because the thinking behind this is that we're not giving our friends a test, asking lots of questions and saying, no, you're wrong, actually. This is the right answer. This has got the questions and the answers in, and it probably means that you'll do most of the talking, and that's not a bad thing. It's not a test. You can get hold of these online, 10ofthose.com. If you can't afford these guys have made the questions and answers available for download for free. If you can afford them, do buy, but they are available free. But how about if you haven't got those, or if you don't particularly want to meet with me or someone else beforehand to think about questions. How would you do it? Why don't we go through a short passage and think how we might do that? You've invited your friend. You've chosen a good place. They're your friends, so you'll know best. Maybe that's a public cafe. Maybe that's your house. Maybe that's their house. You choose a gospel. Mark's gospel is the shortest one. Quite a good first step to get your friend into. John's gospel is very different to the others, and some people like using this one. Matthew's gospel, we've been going through it for a few years. You might think, I know this one well, I'd like to use this one. Any gospel is good. But the gospels are a great entry point into introducing your friends to Jesus. You've arranged a time, you've chosen a place. You might want to give your friend a copy of the gospel or a copy or a whole Bible. And say, why not read the passage beforehand? And then we can chat about it when we meet up. Let's think of some questions. Let's open up John chapter 1. And I don't think this is on the screen above, so it will be helpful if you get your blue Bibles in the seats in front of you and open up John chapter 1. Starting at verse 1. Good questions are simple questions. What questions? Why questions? What questions can be? What do we learn about this? Why questions can be? Why does the writer include that? Why does he say that? Why is that important? So in John 1, we could ask, and let's imagine that you all are my friends, but you're not, you don't know Jesus. Let's imagine that we're sitting in a cafe or in my home, and I'm asking you a question. I've just got three questions on this passage. They're all what questions, actually. So do shout out the answer. If you were really sitting down with me, then I wouldn't leave pauses. I'd try and give the answers to help you. But because I know that actually you are really Christians, I'm going to wait for an answer from you today, okay? So John chapter 1, my first question is, what do we learn about the word? Okay, so we've read this passage. We've read John 1, 1 to 18. The word's mentioned a lot. In the beginning was the word. The word's mentioned a lot. What do we learn here in these few verses about the word? So shout out some answers. What can you see we learn about the word? He was in the beginning with God. Very good. He was God. Was that the same? Was that same, Femi? Very good. What else do we learn about the word? Exactly. Through him, all things were made. What else do we learn about the word? The word was God. Yes. Yes, verse 14. The word became man. The word became flesh. Okay. What do we learn about John? What do we learn about John? Shout out some answers. You can see him in verse 6. He crops up to begin with. There was a man sent from God. Very good. What else do we learn about John? He testifies about him. About Jesus. Yes. He's a witness. A witness to Jesus. Yes. I heard something. He baptized people. Yes. So we learn, and then we could keep going. There are some more things we could say about John. We could keep going. And then my third question is, what do we learn about the Son? What do we learn about the Son? He comes up later on in the passage. We've seen his glory. Yeah. In him was light or life, is that? Life. Verse 14. Verse 4. Yeah, so you are saying that the word is the Son. So now we're getting a connection between the word and the Son. What's that, Marion? He's the incarnate word. So the word's become flesh. Io's saying the word is the Son. And there's more things we can say about the Son. So three simple questions. What do we learn about the word? What do we learn about John? What do we learn about the Son? And it just helps us to open up the passage, and we can carry on discussing that. And our friend may have questions about that and saying, tell me more about this word. How can the word be the Son? And that will just lead to a conversation as we open up God's word with our friend as they meet Jesus. Here are a few principles to keep in mind. We don't need all the answers. If they ask a question, we don't know the answer, that's fine. We can just be honest and say, I don't know the answer to that, but I can try and find out for next time that we sit down together. We don't need to understand everything in a passage. We're just pointing to Jesus. Behold the Lamb. Let God's word speak for itself. Have confidence in it. You might not be a Bible teacher, but you can be a Bible sharer. Your friend might not want to give lots of answers. That's fine. You might find yourself doing lots of the talking. That's fine. It's not a test. But keep listening to what your friend is saying. Some of us do talk a lot. If that's you, make sure you know that's you and make sure you listen to your friend to see what are their questions, what are the things they don't quite understand. Keep listening. A few things to bear in mind there. And we pray that as we open up the Bible with our friends, God will speak through his word, by his spirit, as they meet the real Jesus, not some fake they may have heard about somewhere else. The real deal. We pray that they'll fall in love with him. They'll come to know him like we do. Now, I'm aware how difficult this is. I'm aware that we need good friendships. I'm aware that we're busy people and it's hard to build relationships like that. I'm aware that we are fearful of mentioning Jesus. Well, we feel inadequate about this. That's all true about most of us, probably, if not all of us. But we can all agree that Jesus is worth sharing with our friends, isn't he? He's worth sharing. And a really good way of sharing him is to invite our friends to read a gospel with us. As we invite them to a church service, to meet other friends, Christian friends that we have, let's also think, can we invite them to read the gospel, a gospel with us? Let's have confidence that this is where the power is, that this is where the real Jesus is. And let's keep praying that we would delight in this Jesus, that we would be like Andrew, who meets Jesus and then has to go and find his brother first thing and say, come, and pulls him along and meet this Jesus. Or Philip, who finds his friend and says, come along and meet this man. Let's pray that we too would so be awed and rejoicing in Jesus that we would bring our friends to meet him.